It's a great day to be able to witness to the fact that God is still good and God is still on his throne. So good to see you, Brother Mel, and be with you on this wonderful show that you put on every Sunday morning. I won't call it a show. I'm going to call it a movement or a program. And I'm going to call it the what you've already named it, the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. K-R-A-J 100.9 FM right here in the Antelope Valley. And I'm glad to be a part. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the privilege of speaking the word on behalf of the kingdom. And I know without a doubt in my mind that you are who you say you are and even beyond what we can understand. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I ask you to bless us and bless your word, that whoever hears it would be lifted up and be made to be glad. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you, and so good to be with you all this morning, and I'm going to give you the scriptures, all of which I may not get a chance to read, but I'm going to give them to you anyway, and then you can have them to study about and think about, even if I don't get a chance to read them all. And to start with, we will be in the book of Psalms, chapter 46, verse 10 and 11. Psalms 27, verses 13 and 14. And that's a testimony from our good friend, Brother David, in Psalms 27, 13 and 14. And then Exodus 14, 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And then the last scripture I'd like to read with you is Romans 8 and 31. And this is a testimony coming from the summation of Paul when he said, if God be with us, then who can be against us? Okay, now, let me read a little bit, and then I want to give you a title. And I want you to think about this with me today, because the life that we are presently living in is just not too cool. A whole lot of stuff is going on. Way back when I was a kid, there was a saying or something that we as young people picked up at that time, and it said there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Mm-hmm. So I want you to listen up with me. Psalms 46. I'm going to study from that whole chapter, and I got 3 points that I want to bring out of this. Point number one, I want you to understand the fact that God is sufficient. God is sufficient. In other words, he's able. Point number two is the security of God. Basically saying that God will fight for you. And the third point is the supremacy of God, meaning that God has the last word. Now listen up as we read in Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And he uses, the psalmist used the word at the end of verse 3, he said, Selah. Which means, think about what I've just said. I was riding on my way home, I think it was yesterday, on my way home from Los Angeles. I had to go down to Los Angeles to a meeting right near the airport, and I had to drive all the way down there on 405 and back on the 405. And ladies and gentlemen, any of you who've gone out that street or that highway or that freeway know that that ain't no joke. But we got back up and coming up Highway 14, and I began to look across the way and see the mountains there. And being an old engineer as I am, I began to think about that these mountains were one time under the ocean. One time, these mountains were under the ocean. They were built by the movement of the ocean, ebb and flowing, bringing soils back in, and the heavy particles would build a mountain. That's how the mountains came about. But the psalmist is saying, it doesn't matter what happens to the mountain. It doesn't happen. Doesn't matter what happens, even with the fire burning over in parts of the place where we like to go, and I can't even think of the name of it now, where the
Lake Elsinore,
where the fire is coming out of the ground. You'll know, you'll figure it out, because Henry can't think of it at the moment. But the bottom line is, when all of this happens, the question comes to my mind concerning you and I. Ask yourself the question, do you know God? Now, God never has found a place to start. Isn't that crazy? God never started. God just is. How do you figure out where he came from? You can't. I tried. And believe you me, I did everything I could to analyze God and put him on test and find out who he is. But I do want to let you know today that the world that we now presently live in is in trouble. Believe me, we are in trouble. But God is sufficient and able, absolutely without a question, to take care of any of our needs. Now, brothers and sisters, I got sense enough to know that what I'm about to say is not going to fit well with some of you. Some of you may be very already set in your political stance as far as our present president is concerned. I'm not. I do not like his philosophy at all. That doesn't mean I hate him. Not at all. I love Mr. Trump because I have to. He is a live, living human being. But I do not like him as a president. Does God know he's there? Yes, he does. Did God put him there? Yes, he did. Did God going to handle that? Yes, he is. And so I am saying to you that America is in trouble, and I'm here standing on top of 85 years old on my way to 86, and I was in the Korean War, but I'm believing that I'm going to see another war before I leave up out of here, because I see trouble in the air. I'm saying to you that our society, our people think nothing about pulling out a shotgun, pistol, knife, and kill people without even a thought, and then turn around killing themselves without a thought. Which tells me that the world is gone bonkers. So what am I saying? I'm saying we need a sufficient God who is able to take care of us in the time. That's my first point. I want to let you know that God is sufficient. No matter what the earth quakes do, no matter what happened, no matter who says no, God is able to say yes. No matter who says yes, God is able to say no, and he is the final word. And I'm thankful that I'm a part of him. So I want to urge you, no matter what your conditions are, whether you have a wife problem, a husband problem, a child problem, a money problem, or whatever it may be, I want you to know that God is able to sustain you. That's the point I want to make out of that. And as we move forward in this same scripture, in chapter 46 of Psalms, the next point I want to cover is the security of God. And I'd like for you to take a quick look at, let's say, at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathens raged, the kingdoms were moved, they uttered in his voice, the earth melted at the voice of God. The Lord of hosts is with us. And I hope that every one of you, whether you're driving in a car or sitting in your house or wherever you are, can say with me today that God, the Lord of hosts, is with us. We're talking about the security of God, that God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And the psalmist again said, Selah. Think about it. Now, brothers and sisters, I am so excited, and I'm going to have to move along here, otherwise I won't get a chance to get halfway through this message with you. But my mission today is to ask you this question again. If you know God, then be still. And if you don't know God, when the storm, not if the storm, but when the storm comes, when trouble hits your stage, not if, but when it hits your stage, what you gonna do? If you don't know God, you'll be shaking in your boots. Brothers and sisters, I'm gonna be honest with you, this brother here, and you all have heard me share this before, that back in February of 1971, I thought I knew God, and I was preaching to the church where I pastored for 51 years. And I continued to do that. But one of the things that I had not done is absolutely submitted myself to God in the way that I should have, to let him know that I recognize that he is all the security I needed. But I believed in Ohm's law, Kirchhoff's law, Newton's law, the theorem, the Hytinia theory, which deals with structural members with steel, all that stuff I had committed to memory pretty much. And even though that was 65, 70 years ago when I was in engineering, in that part of engineering, but doggone it, I want to let you know, today I had an experience in February of 71 that brought me to my knees when I went and attempted suicide on the top of a mountain over there in Saugus. And God brought me through that so that I could recognize clearly for once and for all that I know without a doubt in my mind that he is all the security that I need. Climbing down off the mountain after I saw this crazy image in front of me, climbed up on the old Sierra Highway, and I had planned to jump off the mountain in front of the train, and by the time I got up on the old highway, here come the train by, and I told the devil, you missed, partner, and you won't get another chance because I know where my security lies, and it's in God. So I want to urge you all, every last one of you, to recognize it, and don't forget the fact that God absolutely, without a question, got your back and can't nobody stop him. And it'll make a difference whether it's president. And by the way, I think I've shared this with you in another one of the sermons that I delivered here on the air to you, that in January I was in Washington, D.C. in the vice president's office, and we got through with the business that we were there for. And I looked around, and he was sitting one person over from me, and I looked at him, and I said, Mr. Pence, I'm a registered Republican. And he bowed his head because, hey, he's a Republican and all that. as I'm a registered Republican, but I really believe that the White House needs to set the standard for the rest of the country to follow. And the rest of the country ought to be able to know that the White House believe God, that the White House trusts God, that the White House is secure behind God. And when I got through saying what I had to say, some of my fellow ministers, they were looking at me because they recognized that that was not where I was supposed to be in there. We went in there to talk about a money problem to clean off the streets of America. And when I got through, Mr. Pence looked over at me and he said, "Bishop, will you pray for me?" And he shouldn't have said it, because I took off and prayed for him. I prayed and I let the Holy Ghost pray till he got enough praying. And he hugged me, we took some pictures and left. Well, let me tell you, I'm not all that carried away with you know, big names and dropping names and stuff. But what I do want everybody to know that I come in contact with is that God is able to secure you and take care of you. Now, the last point that I want to bring out is the supremacy of God. Now, Brother Henry didn't know really like he should have known. Now, I was pastoring a church. And by 1971, I had been pastoring, let's see, about six years. But when I really recognized the fact that God's word was the last word and began to think about it, I understood very clearly that God was able to take care of what he needed to take care of. One passage of scripture I did not give you, and you can write it down if you like, and that comes out of, I believe that's Isaiah 46 chapter, I think it's the 46th chapter, and in verses 9 and 10, where the Lord said through Isaiah's lips, he says, "I'm God, and there ain't none like me. And I established the end in the beginning." Can't nobody do that but God. I retired 2 years ago and handed over the church to a younger brother. But you know what? I cannot make nothing happen. All I can do is to hand it over and pray that everything goes right, because the bottom line is God has the last word. And brothers and sisters, no matter what Mr. Trump said, no matter what Bishop Henry Hearn said, no matter what Mr. Melvin said, no matter what the radio station said, no matter what anyone said, God has the last word. And brothers and sisters, we got to recognize the supremacy of God. We are headed somewhere. Where you headed? I ask the question again. If you know God, then be still. When the storm is raging, you can be still when you know that you know who God is. God spoke to Moses in Exodus. I'm going to look at Exodus 20, 13, and 14, and here's what it says. Basically, he said he kept running back to God, and he said, "Hey, Lord, I've been talking to these people, and they ain't listening." And the Lord said to him, "I want you to do something. I want you to speak to them and tell them that I had the last word. Tell them that the Egyptians and Pharaoh, whom they see following, trying to hem them up between these two mountains and the Red Sea and kill them, that I'm going to handle this, and all you have to do is to let me handle it. Stretch out your rod, Moses, and let me make you some concrete across the ocean." My God Almighty, I can't help myself today. I'm excited about the goodness of God. So I want to tell you that God is sufficient. God is the security I need. And God has the last word. I want to encourage you in Romans chapter 8. In 31, Paul says, "If God be with us, who can be against us?" The rest of that comes down the line. And I want to say to you, if there's anybody who's heard the word that I've shared with you, I got about 10 seconds to share this with you. If you don't know God, trust him, because he has the last word. And we're all headed somewhere, and I trust that you heard the word today. Father, we thank you for what time you've given us to speak. I ask your blessings upon your word. I ask you to bless those who heard it, that they will think and know that you're security for them, you're sufficient for them, and you have the last word. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and I want to say to you, over there at Livingstone Cathedral of Worship, our worship service starts at 10 a.m. every Sunday. Our pastor is Pastor Rodney River, great young man. We invite you to come by and be with us whenever you like. God bless you. See you next time. Amen.